Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Rosecast. Thank you for listening, as always. Hope everyone is feeling good out there, refreshed, ready to tackle the rest of this season of Bachelor in Paradise. With yours truly, Tim Kennedy. This is a dope intro, AB. And with me, as always...
It's kind of solemn.
Alex W. Bradford. Is it solemn?
Super serious entrance.
Can I ask you a question before we get started?
Yeah.
Did you watch all of the show this week? Did you watch both episodes? Did you skip
yes.
huge swat? You sure?
Watched 4 hours. Yep.
What do you want, a cookie? It's your job.
I would say I watched it 1.5 times. So here's what happened. The first night, Monday, Trump came on halfway through. So, and he gave like a 20-minute speech on whatever. And my recording stopped at the 2-hour point. So I missed the last 30 minutes or whatever of night one. Night two, I had too much stuff going on my DVR.
Oh.
And Bachelor of Paradise was the last thing I added. So I didn't realize that until about an hour into that. So I watched yesterday I watched the last hour with it live. But I missed the first hour. And the first night, I missed the last 30 minutes. So then today, I went back and watched everything on a continuous 3.5-hour loop.
Man, that's like you're basically a war hero in the Bachelor podcast game.
I mean, there was a lot. It was a lot of things trying to stop me from watching Bachelor in Paradise this week, but I made it happen.
I'll tell you what. I don't know the ratings numbers and all that, but I feel like the difference between The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise is they'll preempt BIP for just about anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if there's a cat that needs rescued out of a tree in your local town, the news will preempt The Bachelor in Paradise. I get the feeling it's not as important as the flagship franchise. But anyway, we actually do have a lot to cover this week. Thankfully, they hit us with an hour out of the 4 hours with that in-studio stuff with Carly and Evan and DeMario and some others that we probably won't talk about that much. We're going to try and keep it to the island. And then we have the debut of, I don't want to call it Dear Prudy. I really don't, because I feel like we're going to get hit with that cease and desist. You know what I mean?
Well, and Dear Prudy didn't hit with anyone.
No, it didn't hit.
I mean, obviously, if you knew who Prudy was, you would have been rolling on the floor laughing. You would have been tweeting at us. You would have been saying all this stuff about how you love Prudy. But we didn't get any of that, so I don't think anyone knows who Dear Prudy is.
That's kind of shocking, too, because I'm certain that we have a large contingent of, like, 47-year-old mothers of three.
People that would love Prudy.
If I don't understand how there wasn't an overwhelmingly positive reaction to Dear Prudy.
I don't either. I don't.
Weird.
You know, when we brought it up, I was kind of like, this isn't going to hit, but I was secretly in my head saying, there's going to be like a small contingent that's going to really love this.
Yeah. So for now, we'll call it Ask AB. If you can come up with something better, let us know. AB, let's cruise through this here. I try to tell myself when I'm watching this, don't take that many notes. You know, this isn't that serious. You don't have to break down every scene. And then inevitably I end up with 7 pages of notes. So if we're going to have the Ask AB segment, we're going to have to skip through. Bear with us. We're still trying to figure out the best way to cover this show. It's different. Mm-hmm. But anyway, beginning of episode 3, Monday night's episode, Dean and Christina dominated this episode, AB. There was that weird scenario here, unlike every other season, where they had a break for a week, 2 weeks. So that means they all went home and people hung out. They moved forward as if they weren't going to have Bachelor in Paradise anymore. So some of them pursued the relationships off screen. And Dean apparently visited Christina in Kentucky.
A lot of awesome dramas coming from this, too. Like, a bunch of different stories. Like, Adam and Raven had a thing, kind of. And yeah. It turns out Sarah was somehow a part of it. They should do this every season. Halt production. Send them home to somewhere else where they can, you know, test things out without the cameras and then bring them back. That's what they should do.
It's good.
It's helping.
Dean and Christina, everybody's favorite couple from week one, is now suddenly on the rocks in week two. And you got to think, immature Dean.
It's all Dean's fault.
It's basically all Dean's fault. We'll get more into it later. But at this point, I was thinking probably too quick to go meet Christina's family at home, you know, a week after they met. I mean, that's quicker than even The Bachelor, Bachelorette. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The first big arrival, there are two big arrivals this episode. Adam shows up. Our guy Adam, who was barely on screen during Rachel's season, but is here to get some shine.
Adam is sneaky. I think everyone likes him more than they give him credit for on his season of The Bachelorette. I don't think he got much screen time, but I think how long he stayed there shows that he did have a little something to him.
You get the feeling that if it were up to him, he would have nixed the whole Adam Jr. thing. You know what I mean? Like, Adam Jr. got more screen time than the living, breathing Adam, so.
Yeah, I mean, well, you got to remember, all of the things, all these props and stuff come from, they don't come from the idea of the contestant. It's all producers. So this wasn't his idea, and once it started, I'm sure he can't get out of it.
So Adam shows up. At the time he showed up, Raven was probably the most hotly pursued free agent on the market, right? Robbie wants to get with Raven. Ben Z wants to get with Raven. They, at that point, Ben Z and Raven are kind of almost spoken for, but not really. Mm-hmm. Adam shows up and says, you know what? I'm going to go after Raven. And they go on a date, AB. What did you think of the Adam and Raven date? And maybe Ben Z's kind of freak out that he's on the rocks now. Maybe we'll be a two-nighter in paradise.
These guys have chemistry. You could tell there was something outside the show that they weren't showing to us. So it's a good date.
It was a good date. He put all his eggs in that one basket too. If he didn't get a rose from Raven, I mean, he was
toast.
You're talking 16 hours on the island or the beach or whatever.
If we're talking best opportunity to get a rose, it was not Raven that he should have chose. He could have chosen any, like, Danielle or Lacey or freaking Amanda. She could have chose, or Alexis. She could have chose any of those four on a date, and you probably would have guaranteed yourself a rose. But he swung for the fences, swung for the girl he really wants, Raven.
Yeah. Kind of worked out. They really did have a good chemistry. Now, did they know each other from before? I'm confused now.
Adam and Raven met each other from So I think they sent them back, and for some reason they were all in Dallas together. Maybe they flew through Dallas and they were there for like a day and a half. And that's when Adam and Raven started talking.
So that is bizarre. We'll talk about it when Sarah comes in the picture, but apparently they hung out. They all met each other for the first time, these Bachelor Nation people, and they all like stayed at Adam's house.
Yeah.
Weird. There was not a lot of explanation as to how that would occur or why that would occur. And also, my question is, wouldn't Adam mention to Raven, like, I might be on Paradise if they started back up? Or, like, I was supposed to be on Paradise? Like, how did they not talk about that?
I think she knew that he was going to be there. I think that she knew beforehand, so. why does Ben Z, like, he keeps thinking him and Raven have this strong relationship, and all he can really come up with is that they both have dogs.
The dog thing with Ben Z is too much, man.
It's too much with the dogs, man.
It's not even a gimmick, like, jokey thing.
No, he's dead serious about his dog.
He's dead serious about these dogs.
It's not, and he thinks because they both have dogs, it makes them a suitable couple.
He is as serious about his dog as Kenny is about his 10-year-old daughter. You know what I mean? It's just, it's, you're too serious. It's just a dog, and it's 8 months old, all right?
This is coming from two dog guys.
Yeah. I'm a dog guy, and I wouldn't, that's not the first thing I would tell people about myself. Yeah. Well, I have a dog, and my life revolves around him. Like, we're talking about red flag. Benzie's a good guy, though. We'll say that. The dog thing is weird. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the cocktail party. My first cocktail party as a Bachelor in Paradise viewer. Big tsunami coming. I got a lot of notes on this cocktail party because I was very entertained by this, AB. The cocktail party was way more interesting than any rose ceremony that I've ever seen. There's so much going on. It's like five shows at once. It's like five Bachelor, Bachelorette shows at once, basically. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of fun. It was fun to watch the guys literally grovel for roses, beg for roses. That's great.
I enjoyed it. There were so many girls and guys in this rose ceremony that we weren't sure who they were going to give the rose to. Like you said, people were begging for roses, essentially.
The rose ceremonies on the Bachelor, Bachelorette usually come down to like one or two people that are up in the air. This was like five people I didn't know. There was drama on five of the roses, it seemed like. It was good stuff. Mm-hmm. Ben Z and Raven talked for a little bit. He bored her with the dog bit. Then Adam showed me that Adam might have like super game, maybe. Like he did the dancing bit. I think he swept Raven off her feet right there. It was good.
Yeah, the salsa dancing, it worked.
What do you got on Robbie and Amanda's, I'll call it a debacle.
Robbie, I mean, scrambling for a rose, fucking turns his attention to the second fakest person there besides himself, Amanda.
little Instagram sleuthing. Amanda, I think, has the most Instagram followers of anyone. Like, Raven has almost 800,000. Amanda's got 1.1 million. And we know that's a big thing for Robbie.
Listen, people love Amanda. People probably weren't happy about Ruben and B dragging her through the mud last night. But for you, Amanda apologists, I stand by what I said. And I do not apologize.
The truth absolutely hurts in Amanda's case.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's
it hurts.
Too much. It's too much. You get one her go number, round.
Her first season on Nyx, I was a fan of Amanda. Then she came on Bachelor in Paradise and fell in love with the biggest scumbag there, Josh. That ends up not working, and she comes back again. Come on.
It's kind of jarring to see Robbie, who came in last week, cock of the walk, running the show. I can have any girl I want. To see him really, truly scramble. To see, like, you could see it in his eyes. He was shook. He was shook that he didn't have Raven even out of his hand, and now he had to go for, like, the B-squad.
Crawling through the mud, trying to get a rose.
Also, I didn't notice this much on, whose season was he on? JoJo's? Our guy Robbie was blitzed. Like, he was sauced up, AB. When he was asking Amanda for that kiss, like, his eyes were, I mean, they were half closed.
He's, like, slouched over, too.
Can I kiss? And she's like, that's, yeah.
That's the underrated part about this is how much time, like, downtime these people have where they're just drinking the entire day.
All day.
The entire day just slamming shots with Wells.
There's no, like, you know, time that they have to travel to a different location. They're not going across the country. It's every day you wake up hungover and drink again.
Yep.
After that conversation, Amanda tells Alex, who thought he was getting a rose for Amanda, that he's giving it to somebody else, which sent Alex into a tailspin. I love these tailspins that these guys go into. They 20 minutes before the rose ceremony, their rose gets ripped out from underneath them, and they got to talk to all these girls that they hadn't talked to yet. And they're like, they have to pretend that they're like, yo, I think we get along really good.
We can have something.
Alex talks to Alexis, Lacey, Danielle M, and even takes a shot at Raven with like 15 minutes to go. It's like, dude.
He was taking some big time Hail Marys. shots down the field on these ones.
What do you make of Dean and Christina? Dean doing the stand-up guy thing and saying, like, hey, let's slow down a little bit. I wanted to tell you that before it was my turn to give you the rose. What do you think of that?
What's Dean's deal here, Rim? What's the problem?
I don't know what his deal is.
What's this guy? I get the feeling he's ruining his bachelor chances, too. Like, people can't be liking what he's doing right now.
I mean, no, what he's doing is not going to help his bachelor chances. It's not going to... He's not gaining any new fans with these moves, but I do think there was some nobility in giving Christina kind of the option. You know what I mean? Putting the ball in her court and saying, hey, I want to slow this down. I wanted you to know before it was my turn to give the rose. And then, you know, if I don't give the rose to you, that's a super scumbag.
It was a gentleman move to tell her what he was feeling. But why is he feeling this? Why is he so standoffish with her? I don't understand it. He was all week.
Something must have happened in Kentucky, man. Well, I don't know, because Christine even said, like, Dean came to Kentucky and it was great. I saw the real Dean and I that's fantastic. I want to basically spend the rest of my life with that Dean.
When we started back, it looked like they were tied down to each other. But then for some reason, Dean just stopped.
Rose ceremony. The obvious roses, of course, for Jasmine to Matt, Taylor to Derek. Christina even gave hers to Dean. Danielle M. gave a rose to Ben Z, which I thought was a good choice. Danielle M., not really tied down to anybody, wants to keep Ben Z here after he missed out on Raven.
Very nice move.
Alexis gives the friend zone rose to Jack Stone. Now I know what you mean when you're talking about friend. I mean, it's pretty obvious what the friend zone roses are here. Lacey gives hers to Diggy. And then Amanda gives hers to Robbie.
For some reason, Lacey didn't really understand that Diggy was only into her for the rose.
They went right over her head.
Yeah.
Lacey appeared very desperate throughout these episodes. Yep. And if she went an hour without a guy pursuing her, she was freaked out and cried. And then if a guy talked to her for a minute, she thought, I'm the baddest bitch here. Like, everybody wants me. There's no, like, middle ground with Lacey. So here are the guys who went home. Iggy, Alex, Nick Santa Claus, and Vinny. Those are the four guys. I don't think the show is any worse without them. Vinny seemed like a fun dude to have around. The seatbelt bit was kind of funny when he couldn't get it going, but no, nothing major lost here. What do you think?
Yeah, it's none of the show's stars that are leaving this episode.
No, they just kind of like wiped off the dead skin and we're moving on.
Yeah.
Speaking of moving on, AB, I mean, you want to talk about if Dean is a LeBron James level prospect on this show, who would you compare Danielle L to? Beyonce. The guys lose. Every guy lost his damn mind when Danielle L came. And say what you want about Danielle L. The woman knows how to pick a dress that will get the people buzzing. Every entrance has a dress that is jaw dropping.
Do not forget on Nick's season, she basically got like four roses from her first dress. He was talking about her dresses. 4 weeks right. After the fact,
Nick was super creepy about it. A month after the first episode, he's like, Danielle,
damn, you are at the opening night.
I'll tell you what, stay woke on this, AB. Did Dean know that Danielle L was coming? I mean, the timing adds up. He's like, hey, Christina, who's the number one catch on Paradise. Hey, Christina, you know, maybe we should slow down a little bit. We're moving too fast. Oh, what do you know? 3 hours later, Danielle L strolls down the
stairs. All these people know who is coming at some point.
Especially after that break.
Every single person. Yeah. I mean, they can all talk to each other. It's a family outside of the show. They all talk to each other. They're all
no
part
surprises,
of this one.
Really?
I don't think so. I think they all know who is coming. I don't think they know when they're coming, but they all know who the entire cast list before they show up.
Hmm. Well, Danielle L obviously has eyes for Dean when she shows up. Mm-hmm. And Dean doesn't say no, AB. This tension is rising. The world is turning on Dean before our very eyes. What do you make of their date, their ATV date? in the Mexican wilderness.
Looked fun.
Chemistry rating?
Chemistry was there. I don't know about Danielle. She seems nice, but it seemed a little shady stealing Dean from Raven like that. Or Christina.
She's a little airy. She's not, I don't know. She's one of those girls that just laughs at everything, whether it's funny or not. She doesn't have that serious background, that serious, this is what I want from this show, attitude that Christina has. But maybe, and kind of neither does Dean, though, so maybe that makes them a better match than Dean and Christina.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not what we want, but it might be what he needs, you know what I mean?
Their kiss in the forest, it hit me hard. I wasn't expecting it.
What do you mean it hit you hard? You were bummed out about it?
Bummed out. Dean and Christina, that's the couple I wanted to make it. It's not looking good.
I still wanted to make it. There's another couple I want to make it even more, and we'll talk about them later. But yeah, I'm still rooting for Dean and Christina. I think this is like Dean and Christina are like Zach and Kelly, and then you know periodically on Saved by the Bell, some good hotter chick would come in, or debatably hotter chick would come in, and Zach would like play around. Remember when Zach used to date that girl with the leather jacket? Or was that Slater? I don't even know.
Nope, that was Zach. I know who you're talking about.
And yep. Kelly was like, what is this bitch doing? Like, this bitch coming in here trying to take my man. You know, I'm spoken for Zach. The difference is that they were together for like 10 years, and Dean and Christina have been on a date. So, anyway, speaking of Saved by the Bell, AB, let's go back to the beach. Now, a couple people suggested that we bring back the back of the house transition music, but use the stuff from that season 3 when they went to Malibu Sands with Stacey Carosi, a.k.a. Kevin James's wife in
Leah Remini?
King of Queens.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, they went in the summer. Yeah. They formed that volleyball team. Yep. You want to turn this into a Saved by the Bell?
I wouldn't mind it. But that music is impossible. I spent an hour yesterday looking for it, trying to find because you can't get out. I mean, I'll do it. I'll figure out a way to do it. But you can't get – there aren't just like episodes or clips from that season on YouTube for whatever reason. You have to pay for them. And that makes it harder to rip the audio, but so we'll have to deal with what we got for now. I'm hoping to get some Malibu Sands transition music, and if somebody has that by chance,
if you got an MP3 of the Malibu Sands season of Saved by the Bell transition scenes, please,
I need that.
Our phone number.
Anyway, the back of the beach. Christina's talking. I don't know, one of the Danielle M. And it comes out. Christina isn't even interested. Like. You thought, knowing Christina's personality, you think, all right, she's out on Dean. She's going to go get hers with somebody else. She doesn't want anybody else, AB.
No.
She's not interested in the other guys.
She's got she feels like she has a relationship with Dean, and she's confused like the rest of us on why this is not moving forward.
When Dean comes back from the date after the romantic makeout session on the bluff top overlooking the ocean, he was kind of... I'll go ahead and say that he was kind of exposed.
Expose him! Expose him!
It's clear that Dean does not... He's not sharp enough to juggle these two.
No. He seemed a little remorseful, but his boys picked him back up. Rem. His boys told him he did exactly what he should do. Diggy, in fact, had the quote of the night. I don't know if you caught that.
I forgot what it was. What was it?
You did what any man would do. Say yes to the dress.
That's what he said.
Quote of
the
night.
Listen, all these dudes are horn dogs, and none of them were going to say no. Even Derek, when Daniel L. showed up, was like, shit, I might bail on Taylor. He's ready to put a ring on
Taylor. I'm not going to say no.
None of those guys would have said no. None of them. But anyway, so... You did mention that he seemed remorseful because he told Christina, like, hey, we had a little peck. It was more than a peck, obviously.
it was way more than a peck, Dean.
But, like, you know, I thought it was that conversation. It still made me think, like, damn, these two are kind of cute. I'm still rooting for Dean and Christina.
They're great together. Get out of here, fucking D-Lo.
Let's talk about the end of episode 1 this week. Just one of the most baffling things I've ever seen on this show. Let's paint the picture for me, B. They're eating s'mores on the beach. It doesn't appear that anyone's drinking. This is like the one night a week that, you know, everybody says, let's lay off the tequila for a little bit and just make some s'mores.
Let's recover a little bit.
Yeah, just chill out. Dean is sitting with Christina. I think Christina's probably on his lap.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking our favorite couple is back snuggled up. Our favorite couple is back in action.
Danielle's right there and they're snuggled up. I mean, it seems like Dean's made his choice. He had his feet up to the fire, had to make a choice, and he chose Christina. And that's what I thought, at least.
Yeah. It looked like everything was good in the world. And then AB. Dean pulls a stunning move. A jaw-dropping move. When he goes up to the bar and brings back a little piece of birthday cake and gives a speech about how Danielle L. has an inconvenient birthday because of it's between Christmas and New Year's, and her half birthday deserves more recognition, and he wishes Danielle L. a happy birthday in front of everyone, and Christina is sitting there like, what is going on? I don't know how anyone played along. Everyone should have booed this man off the stage. In defense of Christina.
Dean is playing both sides here, but he's doing it very poorly. He's going to lose both girls at the end.
Back to Zach Morris, man. He'd spend the whole episode playing both sides, but it was behind the other's back. It wasn't in front of everybody.
Yeah, at least be a slime ball about it. Don't be an idiot. I mean, how would this work, Dean?
He's not even you're putting no effort into hiding this. You know what I mean? you can nurture both of these seeds, but you can't do it in front of everybody. It's not going to work. Our girl Alexis cursed him out on camera.
Called him a little bitch along with something that they couldn't play us.
She was saying words I didn't even know what was going on. And then he goes back and sits next to Christina. I mean, hey, can I get a fork? Is this guy serious?
Is Dean for real right now?
Stay woke, AB. This actually might make him a better... This is a little spin zone. Make him a better candidate for Bachelor if he has the confidence to brazenly date multiple people at once on stage. I mean, that's kind of what you're doing. That's pretty good.
I guess that's the name of the game.
Stunning. Stunning.
But I feel like he's ruining the good faith he had with the Bachelor audience. Like,
yeah,
he's starting to lose me. I'm not as much a Dean fan as I was prior to this episode.
Ugh. Me neither. The second episode, the Tuesday episode this week. Now, with that ending to the Monday episode, you're thinking, all right, the Dean and Christina drama is going to continue. That storyline is going to dominate this whole week. What's the fallout from this crazy move, this unprecedented move from Dean? And the answer is basically nothing.
We're going to have to wait to find out.
I mean, it wasn't even a focus of the Tuesday show at all. And it makes you wonder, are there almost too many storylines to follow on this show? You know what I mean? There's like six relationships going on at once, people coming in and out. You know, we talk about how much it's 4 hours a week, but there's almost not enough time.
But here's the thing that I was thinking about as I was watching this, because, yeah, there's a lot of storylines, and some people, you don't see them for like half, like, we didn't see Raven for a large portion of these two nights, and she's one of the most popular people. But that being said, I don't think any of these people have what it takes to carry, you know, a full show like a Bachelor and Bachelorette, and that's why they're not the Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Yeah.
So you need good all point. These storylines.
That's true. I will say I am looking forward to Jasmine kind of coming off the bench like James Harden on the Thunder late in the second quarter of this season and just turning shit upside down. The Dean and Christina drama went from jaw-dropping to off the table almost. Yep. Hopefully it cooks back up next week. I want to see if Dean can do anything more stunningly dumb than
who's
that.
Dean
going
to give the rose to? That's going to be the real question. We don't know.
Whoa. I didn't even cross my mind, AB. Unbelievable.
She doesn't give it to Christina? Whoa.
I think he'll give it to Christina because some other guy will get... I mean, Danielle L. is getting a rose no matter what. Like, everyone will basically ditch their relationship for Danielle L. at this point. so he can give it to Christina, play it safe, and I think Danielle L. will still kind of long for him. He's going to... This ain't over yet, folks. It ain't over. Sarah V, bubbly Sarah V from Nick's season, shows up. Constant smile on Sarah.
People forget about Sarah Rim. People forget. She's the one who Nick, for no reason, let go crazy early in the season.
Did he do it in a rose ceremony, or was that one of those things where he like went to the house? He's like, I'm sending.
He let her go in a rose ceremony, and it was stunning. It was like the second episode or some shit. And I thought she was. I'm pretty sure I picked her as my winner.
Fucking Nick V. Did you catch when Alexis and Jasmine were talking about Nick V? And I think Alexis called him the worst bachelor in history.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Alexis is carrying this show right now. Her and Jasmine are going to be the ones carrying this show. Every cut
they
scene.
Have some good bits for sure.
We need to do like a cut scene counter to see who gets the most cut scenes, because that's how you know who someone's carrying the show. Alexis is. In between every scene, she's saying something hilarious.
Yeah, that's true. So Sarah V has eyes for Adam.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in. Apparently, they have the off-season history where they literally hooked up 3 days ago at Adam's house in Dallas, right?
And Raven was there.
And Raven was there. Crazy. And you want to talk about, I thought everybody, I mean, this is when I was surprised that Raven was surprised that about Adam and Sarah V.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Sarah V shows up. She says, I like Adam. Everybody, there's so many girls there from Nick's season that everybody's trying to defend, you know, form a wall around Raven and say,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, go for Adam, sure, but you would love Ben Z. Let us tell you about Ben Z. They force her to hang out with Ben Z, and that just turns Sarah off to the idea of it from the beginning.
Yeah, and like Sarah said, why don't one of you fucking people date him then?
That's true. Yeah, because it's not like five married people telling their single friend you should hook up with this person. It's that all you people are single on this
and
beach.
And a couple of them don't even have any sort of relationship yet. And they're telling, like, Amanda, why don't you go talk to him if he's so great?
But Sarah V says, you know what? Fuck these bitches.
Fuck it.
She didn't say that, of course.
Well, Ben, also, he blew it. He was just talking about his dog again when she went up and talked to him. So he absolutely blew it. She wasn't into that. So,
if Sarah V turns her frown upside or turns her smile into a frown, you're really boring because she'll laugh at anything. So Sarah asks Adam for the date. Adam agrees. Raven's pissed. She says, if he comes back and he's into Sarah, I'm done.
Okay, that's fair.
What did you make of Sarah and Adam's date, though?
It didn't seem like as much chemistry as Raven and Adam to me.
Really?
I mean, I like Sarah. She seems fine. But
she's pretty forward.
Yeah, she was very forward with what she wanted out of this. So
maybe too forward. Basically, mm-hmm. After their kiss on screen, like during their kiss, she was talking about like wedding plans in between breaths. Like it was too quick. I'm not sure that's what Adam wants.
I feel like he's gonna go back to Raven.
Yeah. Me too. How bizarre is it that Adam, who's got less screen time than his voodoo doll puppet, is like a hot ticket item on Paradise? This show, it just takes your perceptions of these characters from the franchise and just turns it upside down. And it's jarring to see Adam as like the guy all the girls want.
Yep.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events of her life, it always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. There's a wide variety to choose from. Some of my favorites are, do you have any keepsakes or heirlooms from your grandparents? And what's the furthest you've ever traveled? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. Take it from me, you'll love their retelling of the stories you already know, and you'll be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After 12 months of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for decades to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. Our family keeps these gorgeous Storyworth books always within reach in the living room. They're great to read through whenever we're together, and I know they'll be passed down through the generations. Believe me, I'm not the only one who loves Storyworth. There are more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of family stories preserved since the company was founded more than 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/rosecast. That's storyworth.com/rosecast to save $10 on your first purchase. From there, we go on to Lacey. Hey, B. Now, would you say Lacey is the annoying one if you're going to give her a title for this season? Would you say she's the annoying character?
Well, I'm trying to think of a better word to describe Taylor. She's terrible and she's annoying anytime she's on the screen, so I'd probably consider, yeah, one of those two.
At least Taylor's annoying in that, look at me, I found my man, I'm so happy. Lacey's annoying for the other end of the spectrum, which is, Lacey just strikes me as like the queen of self-loathing on this, this cast. And I do kind of feel bad for her because I think the problem is that like, no one likes her. Like, none of the girls really are that good of friends with her. She seems maybe outside the main group of Nick's season's friends. So
I agree. I don't know.
And what do you know? She gets a date card. What did you make of her choices for surveying people to take on a potential date? She went from Ben Z to Matt. Who is betrothed to Jasmine. And then only then, after a bunch of people tell her to ask Diggy, does she talk to Diggy, even though she doesn't really like Diggy?
I mean, Lacey is basically just begging the guys to go on an actual date with her and not have it be a friend date. But all the people she goes up to are like, nah. I think I'm into it as more of a friend.
Some tough conversations to watch there. What'd you think of Lacey and Diggy's date, though? Now, Diggy, I think, was taking one for the team here. You know, he knew he doesn't want to end up with Lacey when all is said and done, but he's not going to say no. He can't afford to say no. He doesn't have any fallback options, so I think Diggy had to do this.
Jorge's back, Rim.
For me, he never was here, so.
Jorge's got a real nice setup for him. Real nice.
Do they normally portray Jorge as like a lingering weirdo like they did here? Does he usually tell stories like that?
Like a guy who doesn't quite get it, you know? He doesn't.
Yeah.
Like he's not understanding and picking up on the clues.
What'd you think of the date, though? I mean, these two, they made out. I mean, the things were looking sunny for Lacey, of course, fell in love with Diggy over the course of this date. Went from, fine, I'll ask Diggy, to, I just never thought I'd meet someone like him.
I love paradise.
Let's talk about Danielle M, AB.
I would love to.
You've been a Danielle M guy since the jump. I was for a while, too. She turned out to be a little too boring to win Nick's heart, I think.
Yep.
But she seems genuine. Like, she's not here for the Instagram. She's not here to shill tea. She's not here to do this professionally from now on. She seemed just, I want to find a boyfriend, and if one pops up here, I'll be happy. She didn't think any of these guys were going to work out for her, so she decides to leave paradise. Does this happen frequently?
Yeah, sometimes. The twins last year, when I was watching, left because, and it was not at a rose ceremony, they just left because they didn't have, you know, any connections with anybody. So it happens.
The thing is, though, Danielle does have a connection with somebody, AB.
Yeah.
He goes by the name of Wells, the bartender.
The legend.
Both from Nashville, been friends for a while, have the one date history from a couple years ago, but mm-hmm. went to the friend zone after that. I mean, the makings of a great long-term love story are there between Wells and Danielle.
They both seem to really admire each other.
Both stand-up people. Wells with the classic charming Wells line of, she's too good for me, man. That's mm-hmm. just, you want to get the lady's hearts to melt. You got to say yep. that about another girl mm-hmm. to a guy behind it. The contrast with these two talking about each other to other people. Great job by Bachelor in Paradise selling that to us. Because in 15 minutes, I went from not knowing these two liked each other to wrapped up in the love story, the likes of which I've never seen before.
Those two have some sparks, undeniable sparks.
Dominique shows up literally 10 minutes after Lacey and Diggy get back from their date. Immediately, everyone tells Dominique, you gotta hook up with Diggy, led by Taylor, playing matchmaker. And of course, do you remember, I don't even remember Dominique much from Nick's season.
Yeah, I do remember it. She was on like a group date. And she got super mad at Nick because he didn't show her enough attention on, like, it was like a 15-to-1 group date. And she was mad that he wasn't giving her enough attention, and that's what basically sent her home.
Don't remember that. And I tell you what, AB, Lacey was really bent out of shape about Dominique coming into her territory when you consider the fact that 3 hours earlier, she was surveying other guys. Diggy was basically her third choice to go on this date, and now she's acting like Dominique's coming in and stealing her husband.
To be fair, though, Rim, if you take someone on a date and, like, you're making out on the beach and go on a romantic date, I think it's fair to ask that they don't go on another date that day.
Yeah, while I was watching, I thought it was the next day.
No, it's that day. I think it's fair of Lacey to expect Diggy not to go on any dates and kiss any other girls that day.
This is such a fun show sometimes, man. I tell you what. And not only that, Diggy was like very excited, clearly more excited than he was to go on the date with Lacey, mm-hmm. which that had to hurt. When Dominique is reading the card and while she's picking Diggy, she goes, let's get steamy. And then Lacey looked at the camera like Jim Halpert, like, can you believe this?
The interesting part about Bachelor in Paradise is, like I said, I think they know who's all going to be on the show. So I think they go in thinking, like, this is the person I want to have a relationship with. But if that person isn't there at the start, you have to, you know, claw your way through rose ceremonies until that person gets there. And that's what it seems like Diggy did. He knew Dominique was coming. She was his number one choice.
Yeah.
He was going to be with Lacey until she got there. Get some roses in case Dominique's not there for a while, but
you got to keep your head above water. Yeah, I love it. It's a good show. This show can be very good sometimes, very entertaining.
People forget.
What'd you think of Diggy and Dominique's date then? Two fashionistas.
Way more chemistry.
The strawberry bit, the kissing, the hot tub. I mean, good for Diggy.
Diggy's the first guy I've noticed that has glasses and had to get into like a hot tub. So he had to take his glasses off and couldn't see.
I didn't notice that. And that is something I've dealt with my whole life.
Yeah. That was one of the main reasons Rim can't go on the show is we thought the glasses wouldn't be allowed. But no, Diggy took them off.
Like, glasses are a very underrated hindrance.
They're a big hindrance. You can't go in water with them.
Can't go in water with them, like, can't really, like, go in, like, crazy roller coasters. Like, you used to ask me, like, Rim, would you go on the MTV Challenge? And I'm like, I can't. I have glasses. There's no – I can't do any of the things that they do. I can't see. Like, if I'm doing the things above the water and I fall into – I have to have my glasses off in case I fall into the water. Because if I fall in the water, my glasses go on, they sink. All right? I'm toast.
And also, like, if you're on the beach and you don't have a shirt on, you just got your trunks on and you have fucking glasses on, you look like a dork. Glasses suck to have. That said, I look great with them on. Good observation, Ibi. That's why we pay the big bucks. Mm-hmm. Diggy and Dominique, yeah. I think this couple is going to make it through. They'll probably fade because they probably won't have much drama. Diggy and Dominique, good couple. One more island moment that we need to talk about before we gloss over everything that happened in the studio with Chris Harrison.
Okay.
Danielle M., she's serious about leaving. She's packing her stuff. Classy, classy girl, genuine. Her approach was strictly about finding love. And if she felt like she couldn't do that, she just dips out. You got to respect that. She said, the love of my life is not in paradise. She barely talked, AB, and I was about to cry watching her leave.
And she's leaving to be with kids in Africa. Help kids in Africa, Rim.
What a fucking catch, AB.
I'm
what a good girl.
You, I've been saying all along, Danielle's a great girl. I said it in Nick's season.
Danielle's saying goodbye to her pals. They're sad to see her go. They wish her the best. There was implicit in all their conversation was like, you could tell that these other people knew that Danielle was a better person than they were. They're like, oh my God, we're so happy for you. We can't wait to see you. I'm going to stay here though and fucking drink tequila for three more weeks. She goes and says goodbye to her pal Wells, her buddy Wells, friend zone Wells. Known each other for a long time. At this point, I was like, God, I would do anything for Wells to keep her here and convince her to stay. He walks her out. The stage is set for a happy ending. Great long-term storyline for this franchise. Will they or won't they? It's pure, I mean, as Jim and Pam as it can possibly get, right? Mm-hmm. Lovable, funny guy Jim Halpert. Cute, quiet, nice Pam. And Wells is broken up about her leaving. And AB, I wrote this note. I said, I thought they were going to kiss when they said goodbye because he hugged her and then he went away and he didn't kiss. But then they kissed, AB. What a moment.
What a kiss. What
amazing
a kiss. Incredible.
It's got a flair for the dramatic. Incredible kiss. The best kiss I've seen on any of these shows.
Incredible. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. God. I did not see it coming. Like you said, after they hugged, I thought it was over. Wow.
I mean, it was a really good, it was a great moment. It was such a happy moment with two good people.
I was yelling at my TV to stop the car and hopefully she'll get out and Wells would run after her and she'd stay there.
I thought they did stop the car. They showed like the taillights at one point. I'm like, are the brake lights coming on? I thought for sure it was. I mean, that was an amazing moment. It was perfectly, whether it's scripted or not, I don't care. It was perfect. Oh, that moment was perfect, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huge Wells and Danielle M guy. I don't think they're together now because I think I follow Wells on some social media stuff. But man, I'll be rooting for those kids for as long as I pay attention to this franchise.
I read something that they've been spotted together in real life recently.
I hope so. Okay, on to the quick studio set. We're going to talk about, you know, the hour of studio time, I suppose. Chris Harrison's got some people from the show, the cast, and they kind of defend DeMario a little bit, describe what it was like during the shutdown for that controversy that everybody knows about by now. What did you make of this? Were you surprised that they were... when they defended DeMario, they weren't saying bad things about Corinne. They were just like, DeMario was painted poorly in the media.
I just felt all this had already taken place. Like, they already had this sit-down talk with Chris Harrison and all the cast. Why'd we do it again? So it was Jasmine, Raven, Diggy, Derek, and why the fuck was Robbie there?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
why was Robbie there talking about this?
Was he even there when DeMario was there? Like, honestly, I don't think those two have ever talked.
I think it was late to get there.
I guess my thing is... Yet people jump to conclusions based on stigma and stereotypes when the story came out. Then when more of the truth came out, I don't know. To me, that I don't have a problem with anything anyone is saying. It sounds like DeMario did nothing wrong and Corinne did nothing wrong. And it was basically a big misunderstanding. I guess my problem is the way it's being presented by the show, by ABC and the show, you know, from their previews, bits, commercials for the season. You know, they've been milking it. They milked it in a couple episodes so far. They had to sit down with the other people. Then they had to sit down with DeMario. And it's literally tune in next week to hear Corinne's side. Yeah. It's just too much. Mm-hmm. I think everyone's kind of over it at this point.
I agree.
And it doesn't have the juice.
I agree. Here's the other thing about the whole DeMario. So DeMario comes out and talks. I already watched a 75-minute interview with DeMario on an E! News, and they kind of showed a clip from that. If you want to, we've already all seen it. If you wanted to know the story of it, he already had a way long sit-down interview. It was a good interview. I listened to the whole thing. I didn't need this. I didn't want this either.
I guess if you want to be nice about what ABC's doing, I guess they're giving them a forum to kind of tell their story. Free of media kind of misrepresentation, because there were a lot of things that were totally misrepresented and false. We read like that story he described that was way beyond what actually happened. You saw that, and I think I read it, and I, you know, you believe it because it's on the internet, and who's to say it's false?
Well, when it comes to that topic, like sexual abuse, you know, of women, you should err on the side of believing it. Believing what you're seeing, even if it is just internet stuff. But when Corinne came out and said, you know, that she was the victim, that may, you gotta tread lightly at that situation.
For sure, for sure. It ends up being a totally bizarre scenario in that no one was accusing the other of doing something wrong.
Exactly.
It was somebody, a third party reporting it, and the people involved, they didn't feel like anything was wrong, so it just kind of felt like, I don't know. It was bizarre in that regard.
To be fair, I am interested in next week's Corinne interview because I have not heard an actual her side of the story. So I am interested in next week. I just wasn't – I had already seen all of this from DeMario. I had watched this and then a lot more already.
Spoiler alert about the Corinne interview. It'll be a letdown.
I'm sure. But they made it sound – I had read something that Corinne would never be on another Bachelor. I think Reality Steve might have said it, that he didn't think she would ever be on TV discussing it or anything like that. So maybe this was surprising to me that she was coming on.
Reality Steve also said the show might be done forever. I mean, it went from 0 to 100 and then back down to 0, basically.
Listen, Reality Steve was way off base on this. He was wrong about it.
All right, so that's that. I mean, I guess we could talk more about it. That's not the entirety of our opinions, but I think I'm tired of talking about it, and I think people are tired of listening to it. So let's move on. All right, AB. It's our first Ask AB, Dear Prudy, Title TBD, Need Your Opinions segment. Again, reminder, if you've got a question for AB, the historian, if you've got a comment, if you've got some insider juice, those are basically the three things we need. Text or call 773-234-7794, and you can leave a voicemail. It's not anyone's actual number. It's just a Google voice box. So if you do that, drop it in there. We get it. We can read it. And it gives you a little more room than, say, a Twitter thread at RoseCastES if you want to communicate. So, AB, I thought we would get more voicemails. Got a couple. We're going to go through one. We got more texts. People were texting like I was finna respond or something. That's not going to happen. So here we go. Let's start with – oh, and one thing I want to mention. We said, hey – give us, you know, your name and where you're from type of thing. Almost no one did that. So these are like totally anonymous. All right. Here we go. Let's start with area code 917. Dear Prudy, Brian and Rachel supporters seem to believe that Peter manipulated Rachel in order to make a play to be the Bachelor. Supposedly, Peter wasn't into her and he should have taken himself out of the running. To me, it's BS. Garbage. There's so many instances where she, as the friggin' lead, all caps, could have hit the eject button on him. Good little writer we got here.
Yeah.
I'm tired of excuses as to why she can't back up her lies. She was in love with him. Like we said, caught red-handed in love. Mm-hmm. Brian had no idea to the extent, so watching it back, she can't get her shit together. To save face, she needs to continually bury Peter for Brian's ego, similar to what we said on our finale recap. Very bitter and corny. What are your thoughts? Do you think Peter was manipulating Rachel to become the Bachelor or nah, AB?
Like we've said, Rachel has been petty this entire post-Bachelorette season. I can't back up anything she's doing. We're not fans of her. I'm not a fan of her anymore, flat out. So, yeah, I agree. She's been petty and bitter about this whole situation. Do I think Peter was doing this just to be the Bachelor? Excuse me.
Maybe he's got a little cold, folks. Yeah, I'll try to take those coughs out if I can. But.
Do I think Peter was doing this for the wrong reasons? I think there's a very good chance that Peter might have been.
But what are the wrong reasons, though? Yeah, being there for any other reason other than to be with the lead after the show. But is wanting to be the Bachelor a wrong reason? I mean, when I think of wrong reasons, I mean like gaining fame, trying to become an actor, like no interest in the lead at all. But Peter had interest in the lead. I mean, they were legit in love. And yeah, maybe he wanted to put himself in a good spot to be the Bachelor. I think nothing wrong with that, if that's true.
That's a great point. Great point. But I do think he was lining it up so if it didn't work out, he was going to be the Bachelor. I think that was his goal.
All right, area code 610.
I probably should look that up. 917 is New York City, by the way.
Okay, thank you for looking that up. Shout out to NYC. Area code 610. Hey guys, love you. Love you too. But Celebrity Tinder is called Raya. I thought it was like Tinder Plus. I thought it was still Tinder, but no, it's just it's like a secret celebrity version. Area 51 stuff. And here's a comment that we got. We should have addressed this earlier. Mm-hmm. We got this comment 100 times. We blew it. We're sorry. All those weddings at the top of episode 2 were not from Bachelor in Paradise. I said they were. AB didn't correct me. You knew, obviously, that they weren't. It kind of slipped under our radar.
Yeah, I saw a couple of the seasons. Like, we talked about, number one, Rim and AB were broken up about the mistakes. We strive for perfection, and we expect perfection, and we will do better. But when we talked about
that was a tough day for us. That was a tough day.
Tough day. Listening back, hearing all the things we fucking screwed up on.
Yeah, but it hurt.
Like I said, I had seen some of those. Like Ashley and JP, that was the first season I'd ever seen. JP and Ashley, that's my favorite couple, Bachelor couple of all time. So I knew that, but we just didn't catch it.
Didn't catch it. I screwed it up. My fault. So we apologize. You're right. Thanks for pointing that out. Where's 610?
Pennsylvania.
Okay. Shout out Pennsylvania. Black and yellow, black and yellow. Next, area code 980. This is from our guy Harrison, very active in the Twitter game at RoseCastCS. How well is Robbie's haircut covering up his male pattern baldness, AB? Stay woke. Do you think Robbie's going bald and that's what the hair is about?
Listen, Rem, I don't like Robbie. You know that. I think he's the biggest douchebag on the show. Goes without saying. But I don't think his hair, he's going bald, Rim. I don't think it's covering up. I think it's just a really, really, really expensive haircut.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to do a little more investigating on this front. No disrespect, you're not an expert in white guy hair, and a lot of white dudes have the hidden, and they hide it with the long hair. I mean, if I look down and you see the top of my head, you see your boy's missing some over here, too. So I don't, we'll see. More people are bald than you think, I think. Regardless, we don't like Robbie and we don't like his hair.
The question is, how well was it covering it up? And I think it's, if it does have male pattern baddens, which I don't think he does, it's covering it very well.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to area code 309. There's a rumor that Josh, again, no name, no name or location. There's a rumor that Josh Murray is actually going to be on an upcoming season of The Challenge. This is, have you ever heard of anything more in your wheelhouse, AB?
You're talking Bachelor in Paradise contestants coming on my absolute favorite show, MTV The Challenge, you couldn't have two things that are more in my wheelhouse.
Instead of champs versus pros, it's going to be all stars with challenge people, some pro athletes, and celebrities as contestants. Shout out to area code 309 for Illinois. Making AB's day, Illinois. Mm-hmm. All right, here's one. It's a long one. I haven't read it yet, so who knows if it's
Wait,
good
was that
or
a
not,
question
or
was that telling me? Because I already knew
I was just
that.
Telling you. All right, well, don't be a dick about it. I mean, of course.
You
want
to know who else is on that season?
No, I don't. I actually don't. Yeah. Also, they might have sent that like 10 days ago. I don't even know. I just throw them in the Slack doc and we talk about it maybe. Okay. All right? Chill out. Take an easy. Take a breath here.
You're going to tell me something about the challenge? I don't think so. I already knew that. Josh Murray's on there. Fucking T.O.'s on there.
All right. Relax.
Johnson. Remember Sean Johnson?
Of course I do. Relax. Hey guys, area code 215. My name is Rania and I'm from Philadelphia. Shout out to The Process. I thought I would share something I know about Derek.
Ooh.
This is what we like. We like rumors, totally unsubstantiated rumors. We want this juice. This is all alleged, so if lawsuits are coming. Even though I never watched JoJo's season, because honestly, I didn't care enough about her to watch.
Very fair.
And haven't seen Very much fair, of Derek Rhonda. Until now. I hear you. I'm just going to keep going. I already know that he is full of shit.
Whoa.
Oh.
Remember Olivia Caridi, the villain from Ben's season?
Yeah, I'll never forget her.
Well, either earlier this year or late last year, her and Derek dated. Hmm. Their relationship didn't last too long, and Derek ended up dumping her. His reasoning for dumping her was he didn't want to date people from the franchise.
Ooh.
Except now him and Taylor are exclusive. Parentheses, he visited her in Seattle for her birthday after the second round of filming ended. So yeah, he's full of shit. Also, Olivia was supposed to be on this season of Bachelor in Paradise, so that there can be some drama between her and Derek about the fact that he told her he didn't want to date anyone from the franchise, but she decided not to go on this season. That's all I got. Thanks for the laughs you provide. Love you both. We love you too. Area code 215. Where is that? Philadelphia. She said so. Shout out to Rania. What do you think, AB? Derek, sleazier than objects in mirror, sleazier than they appear.
That is fantastic juice.
I will say, I don't want any spoilers. You know what I mean? When it comes to the real season.
Spoiler. That was a borderline spoiler.
If somebody spoils something for us, we'll get the dogs. There's going to be some dreadheads in your lobby, as Chance Rapper says. Okay, last text. Area code 804. It's your boy J-Star. And then three, like, explosion emojis. We need a classic Rim and AB top five rankings of the best Bachelor and Bachelorette contestants since Rim has started watching. I like this idea because we were so vastly different in our experience level here.
J-Star from Richmond, Virginia, Rim.
Here's a hint. Ben. You're too close, man. AB, what do you think? Give us a quick, I don't know, your top five contestants on the show since Ben's season.
Well, it's not since Ben's. Why would it be since Ben's season?
Because since I've started watching.
Since Rim started watching. Okay.
Yeah, pay attention.
No, I'm going to give you all. I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you it all. Okay.
Sure, go ahead. It's our show, I suppose.
Number five. Sean Lowe.
Okay, I like him.
Married on the show.
I follow him on Twitter from my personal Twitter account.
Yeah.
That's how much I like Sean Lowe.
Sean Lowe's one of the best guys to ever, like genuinely good guys to do this. And he ended up with it. He had a great season. Number four, Ashley. Married to JP. Great couple. Love those two.
Ahead of JP? Or is that, are they a
JP's co- not a, wasn't the bachelor. She was the bachelorette.
No, it's contestants, man.
Oh, contestants?
It's contestants that's lead. Yeah, Jesus Christ. Listen to the fucking text.
Number three, Kenny, my boy.
Okay. You're pulling these out of your ass right now.
It's a good list, though. Number two, I didn't know contestants were going to be on here, but that made it a lot easier.
There's
Alexis.
Only been like four. Alexis. Okay. Shout out to Alexis.
Number one, Ben.
All right, I'm going to go with Ben is up there for me. I'm going to put him at three. Mm. Number five is – so I didn't prepare with the list. Kenny's up there for me also. I would – the problem is we have like the same
– Same list, yeah.
We have pretty much the same list. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that you didn't list that I would list. It's definitely Kenny. It's definitely Ben. I'm a Matt guy. I really like Matt with currently with Jasmine.
That's fair.
And then, God, who else? Maybe Big Ant. All right, so that's it. That was week two recap of Bachelor in Paradise. Again, if you want to hit us up on the request line, it's 77. I always knew that one day I'd end up basically being an FM radio DJ. I didn't think this was the route I was going to take, but here I am with a literal request line. 773-234-7794.
Listen, I loved these requests. Love this.
Oh, you know, AB, I'm so silly. I forgot the voicemail.
Oh.
And I have a request from Prudy. I loved the music that you guys had for Brian, and I'd love to have you guys come up with little theme music for different folks on Bachelor in Paradise so that when you talk about them, you can play their little theme music just like we had with the Playa. And love the podcast. Thanks much. Have a great one.
Thank you for the voicemail, anonymous person. Don't even have your area code. I don't know what happened there. It sounded like the first part got
cut
off.
What area code?
That's a good idea. I don't know. The problem, the Brian thing was very unique in that he was on that reality show with the theme song was so outrageous that we had to play it every time we talked about him. It was so early 2000s that it was funny. I like this idea. It's gonna take some time, I think. It would be tough to sit down and come up with a good matching song for everybody. It's gonna take some time. If you have some suggestions for people that are on this show, more importantly, people that are on the next Bachelor, because they'll be around for longer, presumably, with all the roster changing that goes on with Bachelor in Paradise. I like this idea. I like the call. But man, the Brian thing was just magic. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be almost impossible to top.
We'll be on the lookout for music to associate with certain people, because I like the music as well.
No doubt. All right, that's all we got. Thank you to everyone who texted and called. We didn't get to everything, but I think hopefully we will in the future. Maybe we'll do some bonus pods that are just 80s mailbag type of thing. Thank you all for listening, subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else, Android people, however you get it, good luck to you. But no matter how you listen, we appreciate it very much. Maybe, are there any sort of specials going on this week of August 21st here? Anything major going on that the listeners should know about?
We're just wrapping up. It's almost the end of August. We're just wrapping up Refer a Friend Month, Rim.
Refer a Friend Week. During August. Refer a Friend Week.
For a Friend August. Week, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so please, if you know someone that listens or that watches The Bachelor in Paradise or the other shows, we would appreciate it if you shared the Rosecast with them. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got. Until next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.